Hi there. I'm Don Gray.
Hey, Don. So we're doing this workshop. Do you want to say a little bit about it?
So the Coaching Beyond the Team workshop, I'm really excited about it. It's an opportunity for me to share some of the models, methods, and techniques that I've been using over the last, I guess, 8 years as I work with clients.
Great. Can you say a little bit about one of those topics that we're going to be covering, which is language?
Well, you and I come at language from slightly different directions,
mm-hmm.
and we happily meet in the middle. Language is very special. It's unique to humans. It allows us to learn from the past, each other, and share ideas and information. It's what makes humans unique on the face of the earth. Oddly enough, for all of the things we trust to happen using language, there's some common problems. One problem would be confusing the map with the territory. What we do is we use words to describe what we're experiencing, and then we treat the words as if they're the real thing and not what we're experiencing.
So how does that get in the way when you're trying to coach?
When I'm trying to coach and I treat the words as the territory, then I do several things. I might assume that because I've said the words, that is describes all of the territory, that there's no more information for me to pull in, that I know everything about the topic, or everything about the issue that I'm trying to work with the client. Another common thing that will happen is I might assume they mean the same thing when they use the same word. So people quite often end up having disagreements or miscommunication around the fact that we both use the same word, but we use it to mean different things.
And do you find that this is particularly problematic if you're a team coach and then you're trying to work with the managers around that team?
There's different things you can say and do when you're in a team and you've been brought into work with the team. I would talk about building rapport, but that's going to be in the next snippet. So
let
me back off from that. But, yes, managers and teams look at the same items. Velocity would be a common one. The team uses velocity to get a gauge for how much they can pull into the sprint. Managers, on the other hand, may look at velocity as, oh, this is a unit of production, and I need to increase it. Two very different views on the same word that describes sort of the same activity, which is producing running tested features.
So you have to be clear about how the people you're talking to are interpreting that word and how it fits in their map, if you want to reach them, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And additionally, one of the things I really like about language and one of the things that first pulled me into studying language, I was trying to answer the question, what is the earliest point I could detect a project was in trouble? And it turns out it's not in the Gantt charts, it's not in the PERT charts, it's not in report, it's in language.
Mm.
If you listen to what people are saying, it reflects what's actually happening in the world. And so the other thing that's cool about language is language reveals our model, our mental model. If I said to you, it's a dog-eat-dog world, or there's enough for everybody if we all share, you'll hear two very different mental models at play.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to back up and ask you about the question about project being in trouble, because often managers are looking at the numbers. You know, they're looking at the status reports or they're looking at the burndown chart or in the old days at the Gantt chart. So they get this one kind of abstracted view, but on the other hand, the team may be using language that indicates there's a big problem. How do you bridge that gap then using language?
Well, I'd love to share that. Using language is very difficult. And once again, that segues nicely into another one of our snippets about drawings and how to present this information. And I'd prefer not to go there. We can wait until we get to that snippet.
Oh, so you rather than relying on language, which may be contextually very understood in a very different way depending on what context you're in. You're saying you draw pictures and use data and diagrams?
Absolutely. Whenever possible, I like to use data and diagrams. I'm one of those people that likes to see the big picture. I like to make connections and inferences. And I found that gathering data helps me prove or disprove what my hunches are, and being able to draw the connections between the data and what's
happening.
And
that helps managers understand you, right?
Well, understand me, but also understand what's happening in their system.
Ah.
This is a whole thing called a system. The developers work in a process that quite often is dictated by the managers. And when managers go, "You will use Scrum," what does that do to the team, and how can they get information from what's happening at the team level to make other process improvements, training, pair programming, other things, more testing, different types of testing, because testing is one of those words that's heavily overloaded. Mm-hmm. Testing could refer to unit testing, it could refer to regression testing, integration testing, exploratory testing, and on and on.
Micro-testing, acceptance test-driven development can refer to anything. So if I could sum it up, I'd say, given that the team and the managers who you're hoping to influence when you coach beyond the team are in some ways working on two different language systems, even though they're both speaking English or both speaking whatever their language is in their workplace, you find that drawing pictures that depict the system and the data helps bridge that gap.
I find very much so. My current client, I made some drawings, handed them to the group VP that I report to or work with, however you consider our relationship to be. And he still got one on his desk. I can see it when I'm going to talk to him. And I think that's highly useful information for me, that this is a way that helps me bridge this language gap and create a connection.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I also have a client that I could see the dynamic that was going on really clearly, but words were not making the connection. So I drew a little picture, and then they said, "Oh, that's exactly what we do." And then we could have a different conversation. So, yeah. I do the same thing.
Yeah, so you do realize we are starting to muddle the drawing with the language. And perhaps drawing is just another way of speaking. It's a different type of language.
Well, it's a different way of communicating.
Different way of communicating, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
What are some of the other ways we communicate?
Well, you know, I use diagrams also to help convey understanding when the language system isn't necessarily sufficient for that, because of the way we're interpreting specific words and so forth. But I also look at metaphor. And I think this is particularly important when you're looking at change, because very often people come in to a situation where they've been asked to help some group change, and they use a whole set of language about it, you know, driving change, you know, creating a burning platform. You know, there's all this language people use, being an agile evangelist. And this language can actually get in our way because of the way we process metaphors. Because metaphors actually kick off little scenarios and scripts in our heads. And, well, just to take the example of agile evangelist, you know, in that, with that metaphor, it kicks off a little story that says, we have someone who is coming to bring the light, and we have people who are in darkness. And so that automatically sets up a sort of opposition, you know, that if you're the evangelist, you're because other people are in darkness.
And evangelicals have the one true way.
Yeah, right. And nobody really enjoys being told that they've been living in darkness and they are, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. Nobody really likes that. So I, in addition to using a visual language to help people understand, I also look at the metaphors that we're using when we talk about bringing change or influencing people so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, to use another metaphor.
I've done that once or twice.
Well, I've never actually shot myself in the foot, but...
Well,
anyway.
Physically, no, but
no.
It's a great metaphor. It brings this image to my mind.
It does, and that's what metaphors do, right? They let us experience one thing as another, and they can be a very, very powerful way to communicate quickly, right? but it may not be communicating what we want to. So this is just one of the topics that we're going to be talking about from a couple of different viewpoints, and we really hope you join us for this workshop. It's going
to
be great.
We do hope you join us. We'd love to see you and have you participate in
yes.
the first ever Coaching Beyond the Team.
But not the last.
Not the last.
All right. Well, we'll cover another one of our topics in a snippet soon.